All right, let's do it. Let's get her going, everybody. It's Friday. The weekend is here. Welcome to Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for the 16th day of October 2020. And yes, the gang is all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And yes, it's wet. And it's been raining off and on, well, pretty much the last 24 hours. Mother Nature could turn off the tap at any point now. We'd be very much appreciative of that. In fact, that looks like it'll be the case, though. Showers should taper off in the next hour or two. Rest of the day should be fairly cloudy, maybe the odd sunny break, but overall, a bit of a gray day today with a high of 10. Tomorrow looks beautiful. Weekend day, Saturday, sunshine, 13 for the high tomorrow, so a nice day. And then we're back into clouds on Sunday with a high of 14. And as you wake up this morning, get going. It's 9 degrees right now. And as we say, good Friday morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
You know what? Just okay. Love my Friday. Love hanging out with my boys. But they ended up closing the gym at my building.
So
going to have to throw a monster wrench right off the hop hammer.
All right.
Yeah, so
I wonder if they were listening yesterday when we were talking about it.
Yeah, I get a little worried here now. A lot of the Sens moves appear to be made because of what we say on the radio. Now I feel like some of the health issues
taking credit.
Are the thing. Oh, absolutely, Hammer. There is no doubt about that one.
Who are the real GMs here? Is it Pierre Dorion or is it JR and Sean Simpson?
We light the fire. We got a direct competition going. The Montreal Canadiens, the Ottawa Senators, the two most active teams in the National Hockey League in free agency. But yeah, the building, actually the lady that does the flowers, her son listens all the time.
Okay.
And things have been relayed to me, so I'm a little nervous that had been relayed from the son to the flower lady to the superintendent. Now all of a sudden it's closed, so I've got to keep my big trap shut for now.
Oh, that means the blade's got to come out now, I guess.
Yeah, blades in the water and the cold. I'm not sure about that. That means that I'm going to have to get my big old butt out and run outside, which I can't stand, but got to do it. So I'll have to find out something. But I mean, I'm actually being very sincere for people that are going through that right now.
Right.
Time of year, that was not a good sign. I was not happy about that at all.
No. Well, exercise is good for you.
So, it is for sure. Yeah, anyway. Find other ways to do it. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Although, you know what? I'll throw a wrench at because I love Friday. Everybody looks forward to the end of the week. But I hate rainy Friday, so please, wrench if we could, just at the rain.
Surplus helicopter jet engine.
All right, that's a good one right there.
Yeah.
And actually got a wrench already this morning on text.
Okay.
Someone, JR, you got to throw a wrench right off the top of the show to Donald Trump again for how he says industry. What a moron. That comes from unsigned.
Huge.
There you go.
Yeah. I actually said that to Hammer yesterday. Listened to that clip over and over. And I guess when you're reading off a teleprompter constantly, the way you enunciate or what you end up saying sounds a little funny. And certainly watching him do a presser and switch from one teleprompter to the other and read right off of it always sounds a little bit funny.
And again, I'm not here to bag on Donald Trump. There's more than enough people to do that.
Yeah.
He is the absolute... His body language when he actually has to read, when he sticks to his script, right? When he's reading something.
It's like he's in detention. He's like,
I want to go off the page.
Yeah, okay. You want me to just read this? I'm just going to read it.
Right? I'm going to read it, and I'm not going to put the emphasis on the right syllables at any point. I could be. I'm not interested in what I'm reading right now, but they told me I have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Yeah. Happy birthday if you're celebrating it today, by the way. You're celebrating, and I'm guessing this guy is celebrating his 59th birthday today, or 58th birthday, without a shirt on. And that would be Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
The guy ever been spotted
with
any tarps on at any point?
And no pants usually, too. Usually it's straight up underwear.
Oh, yeah?
That's all he has on.
Oh, okay.
And they are Fruit of a Loom. They're the old briefers, too.
Yeah, I guess.
They're not
the
boxer briefs. They're not the boxers.
Not going to go underrated, but every time one of their tunes comes on, I kind of say to myself, shouldn't I be listening to that a little bit more? I got some tasty tunes. We'll have to get a little of that going today, Hammer.
Let's get some chilies going.
Hey?
I already got some chilies in the holster.
Yeah. Is he a wee man? Like, what are we going here? Like 5'5", maybe?
I don't know if he's that short. I would think he'd be in that
listen,
ballpark.
If we're going with the nickname Flea, I'm thinking
great point. That's a good point, yeah. You'd want to shake that after a little while, right?
In fact, Hammer, we should nickname you. You should be
no,
Flea.
No. I don't need the
Flea of the show.
I don't need that moniker. No, thank you.
Let's try it for today.
You have enough for everybody? You don't need to give me a nickname.
Hammer is head of Pawn Stars. That's what he'd end up being.
Yes, I'm Pawn Stars.
That's his doppelganger.
There you go. Turning 62 today is Tim Robbins, of course.
Is he doing anything these days?
No, he's just counting his cash.
I guess. Right? Does he get money every time Shawshank comes on and rerun for the millionth time?
Oh, you know, as you just said that, I actually was thinking of Anthony Robbins. Yeah. Tim Robbins no longer married. I had that visual in my head. Big New York Rangers fan and no longer married to, what was his?
Susan Sarandon.
Sarandon. So together. I think, did they meet in the movie Bull Durham? Then we're together for a long, long time. You see them at Rangers games all the time. And real nice. I guess that would have been his last big role, right? Would have been Shawshank. And I think yesterday was the 26th anniversary of the movie's release.
Oh, there you
really?
Go.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I saw a little clip of that. So one of my favorite, absolute favorite all-time movies. Do you know where that, where he was living when all that kind of took place? Do you remember what town that was when he went to the banks and everything after he got out of jail?
You mean where it was filmed?
No. When he rolls out, he goes through his whole thing, and then he goes to the different banks in a certain city in the United States that I bring up quite a bit. That's where he goes to the banks before he heads south.
Someplace in Rhode Island?
No, Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Good. That's one of our favorite cities here on the show.
It is, Portland, yeah. Maine. Wonderful lobster.
Probably, if Flea has no shirt on to celebrate his birthday, she might be might have the Thighmaster going. Suzanne Summers is a 74 today.
Okay.
Old-timey fans would remember her as Chrissy from Three's Company.
Yeah.
She was married to?
The longtime producer, right? Oh, a very popular Hollywood producer.
Yes. Yeah. Was it in TV or is it movies?
I think it was TV Hammer, but that was part of the reason she
wasn't
had
Alan Thicke, was it?
It wasn't Merv Griffin, was it?
I thought she was.
Oh, no, not Alan Thicke. No, not a chance on that. It's somebody in that Merv Griffin kind of a big-time Hollywood producer, and I guess she would be the stereotypical blonde that most females would love to see.
Alan Hamill.
Okay.
Alan
there
Hamill,
we go.
That's
nice.
It. Good.
No relation to the Star Wars guy, hey?
No. That's Mark Hamill.
And also celebrating today, turning 95, and I'm saying this, and I'm hoping that she's still alive. I always hesitate with this. But usually they put D for in my little page here. Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, geez.
Right?
Yeah.
Is 95 years old.
I think
today.
She's still going strong.
Yeah. Got to say.
No
when,
Betty White strong, but strong.
No, yeah. She was never. But I got to say that we didn't have a whole lot of variety on TV at whatever time. I guess that must have been the 80s. I actually watched that show quite a bit. When I think of her, the next show I kind of think of, and I hope he's also alive, was Quincy the Coroner. That was the big show.
Klugman?
That show. I just remember Murder, She Wrote and
There's
Quincy.
No chance Jack Klugman is still alive. He used to smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
Oh, did he?
Oh, in real life,
well,
yes.
Brad Pitt does, and we looked up. We were watching
Brad
that.
Brad Pitt's a smoker?
Oh, big-time smoker.
I never knew that.
Almost all of them, and ran into Matt Damon and a bunch of the guys that were filming Born Identity in Prague way back. Myself and Timmy Murray walk into the Marriott bar. They're all there. These guys all smoke, JR. They are like nonstop. And we were looking at Brad Pitt the other day. What age? Fella's 56 years old and still rocking a good body in that latest movie he did. So, he's a big smoker.
All right, so there you go. There's some of the people celebrating a birthday today. And if you're celebrating, happy birthday to you. We'll get to some of the hockey and sports birthdays coming up a little later on in the show and celebrate this day in sports history. Some epic baseball memories from this day to get through throughout the course of the morning. But when we come back, we'll get into the baseball of today. A couple playoff games last night. Tell you what, those dastardly Houston Astros are keeping things going. I hate those sons of guns. They beat the Rays last night on a walk-off home run. Meanwhile, Clayton Kershaw, he is, I tell you what, that guy and the playoffs talking one of the best modern-day pitchers, certainly well compensated, but when it comes to the playoffs, he cannot get it done.
No, I called it, and I also said they should have had Scherzer instead. You know, if you're going with somebody in the rotation, should have put him in.
Did you call it?
I called it the other day that I said there's a lot of pressure on the fella, but I also called it. I thought it was Scherzer who was starting yesterday, not even on the same team.
Oh, my God. All I know is I called the over in that game, and I was happy
to
see the run. So.
I called the over.
No, I called the over. Oh, we're going to have to go to the tape.
Hammer, didn't Noah Hammer, you not with me? Did I not call the over on that?
I have no idea. I can't even remember. I know I lost, but I can't remember what I picked.
I know I called the over in that game because I said everything looks under, I'm going over.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that doesn't matter to anybody. We'll talk about the baseball playoffs, and we'll get to the big hockey news of the day, which included the Ottawa Senators making headlines, and this was such a rarity. Pretty much universal applause for a move the Senators did. Like, everybody from just regular old hockey folks to fans to even the analytics people. Everybody's on board with the signing of Evgeny Dadonov. So we'll talk all about that and all the other hockey news from the day. And, of course, get to your wrenches as well, so keep those coming. You can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. And as always, phone lines are open at 750-1200. We're glad you're with us here on a Friday morning as we get set for the weekend. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Jammed?
Oh, well, jammed. But, you know, and they'll always say, well, 30,000 is a sellout. Then they'll announce 40,000 or whatever. Yeah. But I believe
80,000 said they were there.
Exactly.
That was 2016.
2016, so 4 years ago, that the Chili's were the highlight show of that year's Blues Fest. Yet another thing we missed this past year.
Oh, gosh,
and hopeful of a return in 2021.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe do a little spacing there if we could end up doing it. But, yeah, the little things like that. You're right, a gorgeous night, middle of July. Can't beat it.
All right. Let's get to a couple of wrenches, and we'll get to the baseball and all the hockey stuff. Good morning, men. WTF with the Jiffy ad and Ian Mendez. He hung his TV up and was watching the NHL playoffs. Well, the playoffs have been over for 3 weeks. That commercial needs an update. That's from the Good Ref.
Let's go, Hunt Club. Big saucy ribs. Go, Hunt Club.
Nice.
And Triple D says, wrench to AJ for his terrible calls over the last couple of months. If I was betting and taking his advice, I'd be financially ruined. That comes from Triple D.
Golazo! Golazo! Golazo!
Yeah, even riding that whole Stutzla to L.A. thing right to the very end.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as far as Ian, he's got to get some take on his terrible Cowboys, right? A little HD on Dak Prescott's injury.
Yeah. Hey? Punching holes in the wall.
Yeah, there you go.
Him and Lee watching together on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, not so good. Keep the wrenches coming at 12-1200. As always, when you do Texas, a standard messaging rate supply. We'll get to more of those throughout the course of the morning. Pierre McGuire will join us after 8. We'll talk about all the hockey news, including the Sens' big signing yesterday. And then after 9, we're going to talk a little minor hockey. We had Nepean minor hockey and Cumberland minor hockey announce yesterday that because of the new rules that have come in place, that they are canceling all minor hockey activities under their auspices for the next 4 weeks, 28 days, and reassess at that point. I did not see if any other associations did same yesterday. But we're going to talk to Gary Hopkins. He is the president of Hockey HEO, Hockey Eastern Ontario, I guess, HEO.
Yeah, yeah.
And get to Gary's thoughts on where we're at with minor hockey in Eastern Ontario right now.
Yeah, and Mira, we were discussing it yesterday, and I hope I'm correct on saying Leitrim, I think, has to cut down to 10 kids on the ice at a time, which might as well start folding up the tents. I think at least as far as Maddie's team, there's already 20 kids. What are you going to allocate, 25 minutes to each? When you look at the cost of it, when you look at renting ice, and I said to yesterday, JR, you're just going to get into where this isn't feasible. I mean, most rinks, when they're up and running, you know, full schedule, and you got everything rocking and rolling, a lot of times it's a break-even proposition. Mm-hmm. I would think some of these privately owned, you're just going to decide, hey, this is not worth it. We can't afford it to just keep the ice in through the winter.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so it'll be good to get an update from Gary Hopkins from Hockey HEO or Hops. Hockey Eastern Ontario.
Hops.
Yes,
yeah.
Hops. We'll go with Hops.
Yeah.
We'll join us just after 9 o'clock this morning. All right, let's start with the baseball because we have gone from what was looking like a sweep of the hated Houston Astros to now a series. Let's take you bottom nine, Rays and Stros. And Carlos Correa is walking to the dish in the bottom of the ninth. Apparently, he's told Dusty Baker, his manager, before he walked up, he said, I'm going to end it. And then
fastball and a fly ball to center field. It is deep. Kiermaier's back and Correa has walked it off for the Astros. They live to see another day. Carlos Correa sends an Anderson fastball to straightaway center field and walks it off. Houston wins game 5. And there will be a game 6 tomorrow night.
Yes, so that's his second walk-off home run of the playoffs, his 6th home run overall. And as you heard Dan Shulman describe right there, the Houston Astros can't kill those guys, man. They were down 3-0, looked like they were done. But they battled back, and now the series is 3-2 Tampa with Game 6 tonight.
Yeah, keep pushing back, and good call by the player to say, hey, I'm going to go out there and end it, and I kind of having mixed emotions about these Astros now.
No, you can't
deep down. Okay. Stop that now.
Okay. Okay.
No, no, no. They're to be hated and always be hated.
So is the best thing for them to get to a game seven and then lose? Is that kind of, is that more exciting?
Or you just want them eliminated? No, it would have been better if they didn't make the playoffs at all of these expanded playoffs.
Let's remember, they were 29-31. They had, was it the worst record of all the teams that actually qualified for the playoffs? They shouldn't have actually been in the first place.
Were they the only ones to be below 500?
I think there's one other team.
Okay.
Did Milwaukee make it? And they were around 500?
Milwaukee did make it.
Yeah, so I believe there. But regardless, listen, they've done their bit. I have to give them credit that they have taken care of business in the playoffs.
And you got like old Dusty. What is he, Dusty, at 76 years old?
71.
71?
Yeah. And Dusty Baker, boy, you talk about a guy who's taken a lot of different teams. I don't think he's ever ended up winning the World Series, right?
So he, no. was he with the real good San Francisco teams, Dusty Baker?
Yes, sir. Barry Bonds?
But but never won the World Series.
No, I know, right? but that would have been...
All those World Series was Bruce Bochy.
Okay.
They won, three? They won every other year, I think, over 5 years. They won three times, the Giants. Anyway, 4-3 is the final. The Astros win that one, so they're now down 3-2. In all of Major League Baseball postseason history, this is only the fourth time that a team down 3-0 has actually even come back to force a game six. Yeah, sorry. And only one time has it actually gotten to a game seven. So a team down 3-0 only once before has it gotten to a game seven. Of course, we all remember that. That was the 04 Red Sox, who actually not only came back and forced a game seven, they won the game seven versus the Yankees.
Yeah, I still remember that whole series right on the bandwagon. It just in 04 moved to Rhode Island from the District of Columbia and ended up hopping on and enjoying that. And I'll have to say, guys, I guess any sport, when I think about a great crowd, especially when a defensive team is at home and the crowd revs up, basketball, we watch the Raptors, hockey's great. But I just think of baseball, and you think about a momentum standpoint, is there anything kind of more on the edge of your seat than, I guess, if your team's at the plate or it's your pitcher holding the ball, but when the crowd in the playoffs is just absolutely, you know what I mean? Like that minute where they're holding the ball and you either need a hit or you need a strikeout, I think that might be one of the most exciting things in sports. So certainly a different vibe around these games right now for the players.
That's where television, well, and if you're in the park, certainly as well, but television does a great job because it's like that moment in time stops, right? And you're waiting
for
the next
pitch. They just hold the shot.
They show these various singular shots, usually of fans, nervously biting their fingernails or got the rally caps on or whatever it is. Like, they do a real good job of just painting the drama of the moment.
Yeah.
The time stops.
Yeah.
And we're all waiting for the pitcher to pitch and the hitter to hopefully hit and see what happens.
Even the lady on the couch at the Jays games, right? She's right there knitting mitts or sweater as you get into the fall for the grandkids.
There she is, right there. You're absolutely right. All right, so game six of the American League Championship Series. That will go tonight at 6 o'clock. With the Rays still up 3-2. Meanwhile, in the National League Championship Series, it was a tight game going into the bottom of the sixth inning. The Braves and the Dodgers were 1-1. That's when Atlanta broke it open.
Payoff pitch. Curveball lined out into left center field. That'll touch down for a hit. Freeman around third. He's coming in to score. Ozuna dives into second with a head first slide. It's a double. It knocks in a run. And the Braves lead it 3-1.
And it also knocked Clayton Kershaw out of the game. Marcell Ozuna's double right there. He also had two home runs in the game as well, but that was the final blow for Kershaw, and all part of a six-run sixth inning for the Braves on their way to a 10-2 shellacking of the L.A. Dodgers. And don't look now, but the Braves are 3-1 up on L.A. with a chance to finish them off tonight.
Well, and inside, but right there, you just see the bat speed of Morgan Freeman and what he's able to
driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, Freddie. Bring it on the baseball.
No.
The Dodgers, though, I guess I think of Magic Johnson, because he's part of the ownership group of the Dodgers, is he not?
Yeah, I believe
and
so.
And he's
yes.
been part of the Lakers. He left. They won the championship. That whole crew must sit around. And this is just a realization, right, where you buy everything, you make the big trades, you make the big move with the Red Sox, you're right on the edge, but you can't get her done, right? And that's got to be at some point here where they just say, hey, enough is enough, and maybe you go into a bit of a rebuild. But they've been trying, what now, for 6-7 years to try to win something and haven't been able to do it?
In terms of the monster payroll?
For
sure, since that new ownership. Well, they got the humongous local television contract in L.A., like just a gajillion dollars. And they have spent to the max. Well, there is no max in baseball, but they have the luxury tax. Yeah, exactly. They have spent crazy, crazy, crazy money. They've acquired all kinds of star players, including this year Mookie Betts. But it's not over, but they're on the precipice tonight. And the Atlanta Braves, who were everybody's runner-up, right? All those years, they had all those good teams and never got it done except for the one time. They haven't been to the World Series, believe it or not, since 1999. It's been 21 years for the Braves since they made the World Series.
They've had three different ballparks since then.
Yeah, they like to build. That's what they do. They're in Texas. They like to build new baseball parks.
Like,
what's wrong with
park?
The one we
exactly?
Right now?
I thought you just left there. Was it Fulton County Stadium?
Well, that was the old one.
Yeah.
And they built Ted Turner Field for the Olympics, which so that would have opened around 96. Yeah. And now they've got the new one, which just opened, in the last year or two?
Yeah.
So when I think of buildings that should get dilapidated over time, I think of arenas, indoor arenas.
Well, baseball stadium should last 100 years.
Well, exactly. Okay. So Ted Turner Field, and maybe that just speaks to what a boondoggle the Atlanta Olympics ended up being, but it only lasted a little over 20 years.
And Jane Fonda ages a lot better than the baseball stadiums in Atlanta. Eh?
Indeed.
And for Alex Anthopoulos, guys, and I know he didn't necessarily put this whole team together, must have come at a pretty good time, but for a guy that was forced out by the Blue Jays, we've touched on this a couple of times, JR. That's a really cool backstory, right, of how good he must feel and did some pretty good things to the Blue Jays as well, and now with a hell of a young team in Atlanta.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? They're doing it not with, a bunch of old, expensive free agents.
It's
a one-off. They have some really, really good young, and they're doing it all without Mike Soroka. Let's remember that.
That's right.
Canadian pitcher who was, the rookie of the year last year, got MVP votes. He blew his arm out, in the first game of the year, whatever it ended up being.
Yeah, was it arm or Achilles?
Or maybe it was Achilles. You're right. It was after pitch.
No, he came off the mound, right? And it just all of a sudden he was down and out. And you're right. And as a fan, though, and this is the neat part, even back to some of those Yankee teams when Jeter came through, I know people love to win championships, but there is nothing better than the teams when you draft a player and cultivate them. I don't care what sport it is, right? When that guy comes through your system, maybe you add a free agent or two, but I think that feeling for a sports fan, there's nothing better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Braves and Dodgers will play Game 5 tonight with a line up 3-1. That first pitch flies at 9 o'clock. The other game, the Houston-Tampa game, first pitch is at 6. So you got a little baseball doubleheader for your Friday night if you're looking for something to do. All right, we'll take a break, 6:35. When we come back, we will talk about the big news. And I think it's fair to say shocked everybody yesterday when the Ottawa Senators dip into free agency. And it's not some fringe seventh defenseman earning, probably too much money. What are they doing? Everybody's kind of going, I have no idea what's going on right now. No, there was universal acclaim for the signing of Evgeny Dadonov. We'll come back. We'll tell you all about him, what it means for the Sens, and much more when we return right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
We're back, 6:39 here on a Friday morning. Rain continues to fall, should taper off hopefully in the next hour or so, and make way for mostly cloudy day ahead, 10 degrees high. Tomorrow is the winner of the weekend, though, in terms of days to get outside, get whatever it is, stuff done, get the old house prepared for winter, or just get out and enjoy it, because the leaves are coming down, especially when it rains. The leaves come down fast. So we don't have much time to do that as well. But tomorrow, sunshine and 13. And then back into clouds on Sunday with a high of 14. We're at 9 degrees, so fairly temperate right now. All right, so we had some controversy off the top of the show about our best bet yesterday with Odd Shark. Simmer. Now, this has now led me to think every time that Simmer says, oh, yeah, I won yesterday, and we take him at his word, because we all have...
No, Hammer never does, actually. He always goes back and reviews.
Maybe we need a good listener who's got a better memory than any of the three of us to actually keep it, because I'm truthful all the time. I am hardwired to be true and truthful. Hammer, I usually remember his, because his picks are really bad. But to Simmer, I'm never quite sure, because you bring up points on one side and then you go completely against it the other way.
And so, I actually believe, that's the beauty of it. It's really not a lie if you believe it. And I truly believe that I took the over.
Just listen to Donald Trump right there. All right, let's review our Odd Shark best bet yesterday.
I'm going to take the under on the Dodgers.
Okay, I think we have it. That's not doctored,
edited.
No,
it's not doctored.
Way. Okay, good.
No, I like the pitching matchup.
Of Max Scherzer.
Yes.
But you said the bats were hot.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, on Clayton Kershaw's, and then we'll move to hockey in just a second. On Clayton Kershaw's postseason struggles, how about this?
Is he a David Price?
His .413 career playoff earned run average is the worst in Major League Baseball history. Wow. For anyone who has at least 100 innings pitched.
Okay.
So we'll throw out all the kind of the one-offs.
But Price got to be darn close, no? Or was he always put into the bullpen?
I don't know if David Price would be at 100 innings.
That's true.
Yeah.
Would
yeah.
he? I mean, 100 innings, is when you think about
Tampa
playoffs,
Bay.
That's a lot.
Tampa was always in the bullpen, came over to the Jays. Didn't even start him in that. Did they put Stroman in for that game 7 versus Price? Remember the big controversy?
I remember he
was going to come out of the bullpen, yeah. And then that I think that was the last time he started.
I thought he came out of the bullpen when R.A. Dickey got the start.
Oh, did he? Okay. But the controversy was he didn't get the start in one of the latter games
yeah.
in those series, and I think that was kind of the end of his Jays. And it was, don't. Now, you know, he's not going to want to sign. Then did he get 5 years, $100 million or from the Red Sox? End up just getting crazy.
Way more than that.
Was it 30 million per?
I think he got $200 million. Yeah.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
like 7 years
seven
and 213
30, okay.
million
okay,
or
okay.
some crazy. And of course he's with the Dodgers now, but did opt out of this year. Talk about guys that turn their back on $30 million.
Well,
then you know you got a lot of cash.
Yeah. He's got to play video games and eat a lot of popcorn. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'd be surprised if David Price is at 100 innings pitched in playoff history. That's a significant number. So yeah, but Clayton Kershaw. That stat is very revealing on his postseason struggles, exacerbated again last night in the Dodgers' loss. All right, so 6:43, let's get to the news of the day from yesterday. I don't know about you, Simmer. I don't know about the people listening right now, but when the news, and I had been tipped off, a little bird told me that there was some news coming down from the Sens mid-afternoon yesterday, and I had been told it was going to be a trade. And so I texted you, actually. I said, hey, I heard there's a Sens trade coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And then literally within 2 minutes, wasn't a trade. It was a free agent signing of Evgeny Dadonov, probably along with Mike Hoffman, the best remaining free agent that was out there. He gets a 3-year contract that will pay him an average annual value of about $5 million, although it's structured in a way in which it kind of goes up every year, so he gets less of the escrow in year one. But we're talking about a guy who scored 28 goals, and in this year, if not for the pause on the season, was trending toward a 30-goal season. Yeah. So we're talking about a very consistent goal scorer. The last 3 years down in Florida, he signs with the Sens. Here's general manager Pierre Dorion on Dadonov.
He's definitely someone we targeted when free agency started. For us, he's someone that brings a great offensive baggage to the table. He's someone that, you know, scores legit goals. He can really shoot it. He's smart offensively. For us, he's someone that competes offensively to score goals. Also, when we did our background check, he's not a guy that is a really vocal guy, but he practices hard. He leads by example. Not every one of your leaders will be someone who's vocal, but we like leadership qualities in him as he might not be the loudest person, but he's someone that will definitely lead by example with our group of players.
All right, so that is a part of what Pierre Dorion had to say yesterday on Dadonov, and if you want to hear everything he had to say, it's posted to our website at tsn1200.ca. So, Simmer, how surprised were you? And B, what do you think of the signing?
Surprise. I don't know about offensive baggage, what that means.
I think that's a lost in translation.
Yeah, I guess, or even some of the leadership. I have no idea. Saw the guy signing his pitcher. Thought he was a goalie with those arms that he's got. This guy's a hell of a hockey player, Jer. I mean, you look at certain guys, and I know Mike Hoffman can score goals, but when you talk about intelligence, hockey IQ, ability to make plays, ability to shoot the puck, this guy is one of those glue players that makes everybody else around him better. So this to the Murray one, and now I've been doing the whole Connor Brown thing and talking about Brady Tkachuk. Without doing either of those, hey, these are two great things that you're doing. This isn't a camouflage, and let's pretend we're doing this, and let's take the guy a little bit later after he gets a signing bonus and pretend it's a good deal. The addition of Murray in 4 years and the addition of Dadonov, and I don't care that he's 31 years old, hasn't played that much in the National Hockey League. This guy's just a hell of a hockey player. This is a great addition for the Ottawa Senators, and I got to be honest, and as they say, they're not done. I wonder, honestly, I mean this very sincerely, as Montreal's making so much noise, I wonder for the owner, Mr. Melnyk, you know, if you're looking at this and thinking, hey, let's take a little run here, but the part that they have to do, that forward group, as I lay out a depth chart right now, if you're a Sens fan, along with the goaltending, I think you get really excited. What doesn't match up for this coming season, though, that forward group is, I'm not saying a win Stanley Cup, but that forward group is pretty good, along with the goaltending, close to making a playoffs. What doesn't match up right now is that decor. So, hey, this guy's a hell of a hockey player, and along with Matt Murray, this is a great sign with the young players that are coming through of the direction of your hockey club. So, hey, job well done by Ottawa.
Yeah, he's 31 years old, is Dadonov. He's got an interesting, like, I'll be the first to admit, and certainly aware that he scored goals. I don't know anything really about this guy. I don't pay any attention to Florida.
Well, when he came back 3 years ago, JR, most people thought he was a young player, right?
Yeah, exactly.
People didn't really realize, hey, he'd already been here. He had played in Rochester. You know, he's an older player that had gone back, played in a lesser team, I believe, in the KHL.
Whatever that is, which
I don't even know, to be honest.
It's in Donetsk, it says here.
Yeah, so Donetsk, whatever. Which is a small city in Russia. But he played in St. Petersburg, was on the team with Panarin, was a very good player in the KHL, then came back, but he quietly, after Huberdeau, and Barkov, he's just kind of there, right? Like, people don't really know him or understand him, but he really is. Like I say, this guy is just he's a world-class talent.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2007 by the Panthers, came over and spent most of the next 3 years playing in the American Hockey League, had a little bit of time each year in Florida, then spent a full year in the American Hockey League. So 4 years over here, and then I'm guessing at that point, it's like, well, looks like it ain't happening for me. I've got probably a decent offer to go back to the KHL.
Yeah, yeah.
Went back there for 5 years, including 2 years in that smaller place you mentioned, and three years in St. Petersburg, which is a powerhouse team.
Big time, yeah.
And then, and I guess either rediscovers confidence, or at least Florida's looking at it and going, okay, we got to bring this guy back. At that point, he's 28 years old. He comes back. His last 3 years, all of a sudden, things have clicked for him. 28. And 25 goals would have been, had they played the entire year this year, upwards of around 30 goals. So a very consistent goal scorer. He's not a big guy, 5'11", 185, but was interesting and just kind of getting into the nerd numbers analytics numbers from some various people. First of all, they're very good on him. Not good on Mike Hoffman. Very good on him. So if we're looking at comparables, you know, plays wing with the Florida Panthers, had about the same amount of goals. Hoffman's numbers, not that good compared to Dadonov. So they check out that way. The other thing is, and we've told, or at least I've told you, and I know you like Mike Kelly from the Point, right?
Yeah,
they do all that. They actually track where guys get shots, and I think it's a very valuable analytic numbers that they come up with.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy does most of his shooting from the inside areas is, is not a bigger guy. So
this is not somebody
that's just doing everything because he's coming in off the wing with a lot of speed, and that'll eventually, you know, kind of fade away. Like, he's going to the hard areas, and he's got the ability to score goals.
Yeah.
So I think you like that.
No, you do. And you know what? What does Mike Hoffman make better? Mike makes himself better. I mean, that's really what he is. He scores goals, and if he's not doing that, he's not bringing anything to the table. No, this is completely different. Now, when you also say those numbers, and the only part I critique on Mike, when you look at, he talks about Nylander scoring from these different areas. What Nylander does, similar to Dadonov, is that they're just really smart, JR. They're almost like soccer players. They're getting into empty space and scoring versus necessarily where I think that might lead some people to believe that Nylander's a hard hockey player. And I also, who I think is soft, I don't think Dadonov is, but he's just really intelligent, right? He goes into, and this is the give and go that he plays with Barkov. And if you think of Barkov, who does actually speak Finnish and Russian, and of course has Russian parents, the chemistry amongst these guys, it is that full give and go game. Like, the intelligence, and you see this with the Europeans, the Swedes, it's very much that soccer mentality. And he just, like I said, he just feels the game. This guy, like I said, he just used that term. I mean, he's a natural. He will, with every centerman, and I look to the Logan Browns, I look to even Colin White. If you look at guys, and this will be related to Mark Stone, like, there's a lot of similarities there to the game. Like, if I'm looking to do something now to get Colin White up and running, this guy is the type of guy you compare him with, because the intelligence of his game is so good for White, who, hey, just go and do your workman-like stuff, and I'll get you the puck.
Yeah, he's a finisher. It was funny, the Sens tweeted out kind of just a little highlight pack of him from his, I'm not sure if they were all from last year or whatever, but the first three goals on it, they weren't necessarily tap-ins. They were him in front of the net at basically one-timers getting fed each time by Jonathan Huberdeau.
Yeah,
so I threw out there, well, if Huberdeau not included, like batteries, not included, because he was feeding them these sweet dishes right in front of the net. But yeah, if the Sens can find somebody, anybody, that can perform even, and they don't really have at this point, I don't believe, a Jonathan Huberdeau type of player to set him up. But if they can get anybody that can get some chemistry with this guy, he's proven, at least to this point, he gets his he can put the puck in the net. The other part I think that's good is that this is a 31-year-old player, so there's always a bit of concern about obviously he's probably peaked, and how quick is the decline going to be? Maybe it's not going to be that quick, but it's only a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
Like, typically in previous years with free agents, NHL free agents, guys like this would get 5 and 6 year contracts. Yeah, they would. Yeah, They'd get paid, and boy, you would come to regret that. 3 years is that's an excellent term, but that speaks to where we're at right now in terms of what these guys are being offered.
Yeah, and still, I think with a Russian player and at 31, what were your expectations? I don't think, you're right in this. I mean, if you're the Montreal Canadiens and you say to me, hey, for the next 3 to 4 years, who's a better player, Dadonov or Toffoli? I'll be honest with you, it's not even close. And this year trending a little different, but as I said, he certainly scores the goals, but in the previous years, he had 42 and 37 assists. He makes plays, makes people better. It's a smart move. And then the other part is when you start to see the shifting of the division, which I think Florida both as a franchise and as a, you know, you take Hoffman and Dadonov out of that lineup. Some people say they're trending in the right direction. Can you tell me what direction that is when you take basically your, you know, third and fourth best forwards out of your lineup? And when you look at the Boston Bruins, you look at where it's kind of going, you start to then, as we've discussed, I've said, hey, I think Montreal might have a chance for second in competition with Boston and Toronto. Well, if you're a Sens fan, you start to look at this and say, okay, from a depth chart standpoint, we're certainly, I still think they're better than Buffalo, still think they're better than Florida. The part of is if you want to go to that next level, how patient can you be on that defense? And everyone keeps saying, well, you know, it's a one-off, and the following year it's going to be, you know, Sanderson and JBD and Thompson and Brännström are all going to hop in. Listen, guys, this isn't going to happen where six young players all of a sudden form this decor.
Right.
But can they be patient enough where I look at this and it just doesn't really, it doesn't match up having, especially with Zaitsev, Brandon, Gabranson, along with Riley, with Willanen and Shabbat. This forward group, I'm not saying win a Stanley Cup now, but that is built to make the playoffs along with your goaltending. And quite simply, JR, that decor is not built. You know, one of these things is not the same. And that's where I wonder, are they going to continue to get aggressive? And they're also right now, without Tierney and Brown sign, they're at $60 million. So obviously there's been a green light from ownership here to spend a little bit of cash.
Yeah, or and this is my one caveat on what we saw happen yesterday, which I think, as I said, has gotten pretty much universal acclaim from everybody, from fans to media types to analytics to everybody's going, okay, that's a great deal for the Sens. That's a really smart buy. All of it makes sense.
Yeah.
The only part that I've got sticking in the back of my mind is if this ends up being a signing because they've already said we're moving on from a Connor, and I understand he's not the same player.
Yeah.
But from a Connor Brown, because, okay, Connor Brown, we're not going to be, we've already decided we're not going to be able to come to a deal with him. We're going to move him along.
Yeah.
Then I reserve judgment on this move overall.
Yeah, I agree with that because I also, again, I think you're trending with a bunch of other people's players, and I don't know Dadonov could be in when you bring up the leadership component, a 31-year-old Russian coming to Ottawa. I totally agree with you, and I'm just my gut feeling. Unfortunately, I probably think it's probably trending that way, and that would be in trying to look at this and say, oh, we got a, you know, a little better point producer, and now we got Zaitsev for another 4 years, and they're friends, and then you end up shipping out Connor Brown. I think that's a very valid point. What I hope, worst case scenario, is that Tourney and Connor Brown come back on 1 year deals, see what ends up happening. But as I said, I do think I think there's a lot of merit to what you're saying right there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll find out because Connor Brown's arbitration hearing is next Thursday, so we're not going to have to wait very long. If it gets to an arbitration hearing, then at that point, both sides are locked in to them. It used to be, again, you could come to a deal after the hearing.
Yeah.
But now it's like once you get to the hearing, you have to accept the award by the arbitrator. So we will we'll see what I think that's going to be a very interesting thing to track here over the next 6 days.
Yeah, and neither he or Tourney are getting to $4.5 million, so there's no ability for Ottawa to walk away. So I would say this is trending towards both of them coming back, but you also wouldn't rule out, as you said, I think there's a lot of teams out there. I don't know on Tourney, but I think there's teams out there that first of all would take Connor Brown, but would probably give him a 4 or 5 year contract right now. So I would not rule out a trade before now in the arbitration.
Yeah. So as far as the depth chart, as we sit here right now this morning, so Dadonov, by the way, is a left shot, but prefers to play the off wing, the right wing, as we see a lot of Russian, a lot of European players, right? They prefer kind of that open ice. So
like to have the stick to the middle of the ice.
Yeah. If you project him as a right winger. So right now the depth chart on the right side, presumably has Drake Batherson as a full-time NHLer as a right winger. It has Evgeny Dadonov, and it also has Connor Brown. That's kind of, as it sits right now, would be your top three right
and
wings.
Probably Watson slides into the
number four
spot.
Hole. Yeah. So and that's pretty decent.
Absolutely. I'd have a Dadonov, Brown, then I'd have Batherson on the third line, Watson on the fourth line, and you start to stack up on the left side of Tkachuk, Stützle, Formanton, and Paul. Now you figure out your center ice, and hey, you look at that at least on paper. I think you end up getting pretty excited about this hockey team.
Yeah. So, down the middle right now, right? You've got, and we'll presume, that Tierney or Brown are back. Then you've got Tierney, you got Artie Party, you got Colin White, right? There's your...
I'm going with Norris and Logan Brown. The part I'll say with Logan Brown, again, as you improve your group and for the things that he's able to do, and I'll put what I just said about White about 20 minutes ago, when I look at a guy like Dadonov and I look at the overall group, is a Logan Brown the ability to play with better players and a better team? Does that give him a chance? I really do. I would give him a long look in the middle with some of these better players.
From on text, Duclair must be kicking himself if he could have signed that deal with the Sens. That's what happens when you get rid of your agent. Duh. That comes from unsigned. Duclair was not getting that deal from the Sens.
No, not $5 million. And again, whatever the raise was, and we don't know the numbers, I think this was something short term. And as much as I like Duclair and he can score some goals, I'd say fairly one dimensional. Again, Dadonov is a much better player than Duclair.
Good morning, guys. Either a what happened or a kick in the balls wrench to Anthony Duclair for thinking he doesn't need an agent with the Dadonov signing. His days with the Sens are definitely done. That's from the Schmoberger.
It's a kick in the balls for us.
Yeah, I didn't think he was coming back anyway. I just seemed like that ship had sailed, maybe for both of them, both sides, in terms of Duclair and the Sens.
This
certainly sealed it. There's no way
And honestly, you really have to, even on a one-year deal, JR. I have no idea. I don't think he's going to get more than that, and I don't even know if he'll get a pay increase from last year, or maybe he gets 1 year at a couple million. And also, I want to throw a wrench to Dadonov, because I always want there to be an end in that name.
Yes, you've dropped it a few times already. Yeah. You've gone Dadonov.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I want to do that. I'll throw a wrench to myself. Hammer.
Okay.
You know, he's a big guy. I like big guys.
Did you drive by CTC? Was Smitty out there with the jackhammer?
No, I didn't get a chance to get out there. No.
Okay. I know. I hope the rain doesn't end up delaying some of the hay
the,
shovels.
The five-year plan for the new arena.
Shovels in the ground.
Keep the boys busy while there's no hockey.
Yeah.
All right. Thoughts on the Dadonov signing? Share them with us. You can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. Keep the phone lines open as always at 750-1200. We'll get the thoughts of Pierre McGuire when he joins us after 8 o'clock. But that was the biggest of the free agent signings yesterday. Another relatively quiet day. The Rangers did a little bit of business in-house, signing Tony DeAngelo, the defenseman, and Alexander Georgiev, the now backup goalie.
Yeah.
So the Rangers have made a couple of signings there. Tony DeAngelo, for those that don't know, you speak about under the radar, and Dadonov's a bit under the radar.
Yeah.
Tony DeAngelo was the fourth highest scoring defenseman in the entire NHL last season.
No,
he's a terrible defender, but he's really good with the puck on the stick.
We brought that up, and I don't know, I think it was when the NHL was coming back, JR. I remember looking at the stats one day, and I'm like, I think I asked you. I said, do you know who the fourth leading scoring defenseman in the National Hockey League is? And that's also with Mr. Fox coming in. And I believe the Rangers D-Cor ended up having the most points in the National Hockey League last year, did they not?
Yeah, and I never even – what did Trouba end up not scoring much at all, right?
No. At $8 million, would have been third on the D-Cor as far as scoring. And actually – the fellow that Pionk, I think, ended up putting up more points for the Jets than Trouba did for the Rangers.
All right, so we'll get to more of your thoughts on Dadonov and look at the depth chart, what it all means going forward in the next hour. That and the other hockey news. We'll talk about the NFL weekend ahead, get you the latest on what's going on with the Falcons, who had a COVID-19. And Le'Veon Bell, talk about landing on your feet. That knucklehead's got a new contract with the Super Bowl champions. Wow. Crazy how things fall into place. So we'll chat about all of that and, of course, the baseball playoffs when we come back. Don't forget, a couple of chances for you to qualify in our TSN 1200 Pizza for a Year contest. So stand by for that. But the latest news is on the way from 580 CFRA. Full scoreboard rundown for you as well. We're glad you're with us. It's a Friday morning, and you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.